Though you couldn't tell it from that short reading in 1 Corinthians, if you read a few verses before that, you'll know that things were not going well in the church in Corinth. Because Paul says to the church, quote, "So when you get together in one place for your communion service, one person goes hungry while another is drunk." Things are not going well in Corinth. And then he recounts the Last Supper, which you just heard read. And then he does something strange. At least to me it's strange. He says, when you eat this meal, as Jesus teaches us, quote, "You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." How does it proclaim Jesus' death? Well, there's much that could be said on that, but I go to the letter to the Ephesians, where Paul says the crucifixion of Jesus creates a new reality among human beings. You remember he writes in Ephesians, "For Christ himself is our peace, who has made us both, Jew and Gentile, one, broken down the wall in his flesh, the dividing wall of hostility, that he might create in himself one new human being in place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So then, you're no longer strangers or aliens, but we're all fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That's what the cross does for Paul. And he's saying on Good Friday, tomorrow as we celebrate it, Jesus takes our hatred, our violence, our vindictiveness, our darkness, our suffering into himself, creating a new human community at peace with itself and with God. So, when the church in Corinth or in Chelmsford is living in their community, in our community, in a way that manifests this new universal divine and human community, then we're showing off the power of Christ's death and the difference it makes in our church here and now. On the other hand, when a church is moving away from wholeness into fracture, splitting along economic, racial, ethnic, political, sexual lines, or is just caught up in a good old-fashioned power struggle among people that are exactly alike, then the church is not reflecting the radical healing that fell on the world on Good Friday. Right? So either we're moving towards manifesting the power of Christ's death, proclaiming it, if you will, or we're moving away from it. It's interesting to consider that there are four accounts, as you know, of the institution of the Last Supper in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in 1 Corinthians, which we just heard read, which is the one closest in time, at least written, to the Last Supper. But interestingly, in John's Gospel, the Last Supper does not have Jesus performing the actions of the Eucharist. It doesn't talk about him, you know, taking, blessing, breaking bread, and giving of bread and wine. In John, Jesus has a lot to say about the bread of life, but that's chapter 6. That's chapters earlier. That's months, maybe years earlier in his ministry. Don't know why this may be, but here's one thought. Maybe John had noticed in his own church that it's perfectly possible to do Holy Communion decently and in order, which is how we Anglicans, Episcopalians do everything, God willing. It's possible to do it decently and in order without actually manifesting signs of the new life pouring out of the cross. A church that eats Eucharist in peace and harmony only because everyone is exactly the same, looks the same, lives in the same kind of houses, votes the same, and all of that, it's not manifesting the peace of God, but only the proverb that birds of a feather flock together. Therefore, I think, so John knows just as we do, just as I do, just look at my own life, how easy it is to fake the peace of God. So John highlights another action, foot washing, that's harder to fake and which costs our ego something to do it. And John presents his foot washing in a strange, paradoxical way. I mean, listen to this. John writes, "And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table and what? Has a mini transfiguration and just begins to shine on all the people? That's what you might expect from someone who's come from God and who's going to God and has all things from God. Or maybe he gets up from table to proclaim himself Lord of heaven and earth and to put the disciples in their place." I mean, it sounds like John is saying that Jesus hears God say what you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about what the father said to the elder son in the parable of the prodigal son. You remember he said, "Son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours." That's what Jesus believes about his relationship with the Father. He knows that, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he'd come from God, and he was going to God. He's surrounded by God. He takes off his outer robe, ties a towel around himself, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. The one who has come from God and is going to God becomes a servant and was a servant throughout his ministry to us human beings. The thing that keeps us from breaking bread with those we don't want to be around, like the poor or the sick or the marginal, is the same thing, I think, that fills us with disgust at the thought of washing a stranger's feet. That tiny ego wants to avoid anything that threatens to diminish its story of always being right and clean and in control. Now, oh sure, maybe if we were like the Pope, take any of them in the last, you know, ones, since there's been a news media, if we were like the Pope and when we wash someone's feet, there were all the cameras and it went all over the internet praising his humility, then we might be all in. Oh yes, I'll CNN's here, yep, I'll do that. That's not the reason our current Pope does it, I know. But yeah, okay, sign me up for that. Eucharist and foot washing in this way are similar symbolic actions which Jesus calls us to practice in church in order to learn how to live in the power of the cross outside church, right? We practice it here, doing things that make us uncomfortable, that stretch us, so that out in the world, we can continue to live that way in places where it's not as safe as it is in here. Or in other words, staying inside the box of our comfort zone will keep the church outside the experience of wholeness and transformation given to us freely in the Lord's death. So today we have that opportunity both to break bread and to wash feet.